serve you in two different ways simultaneously, both here in the sanctuary and with the online worship service. And so the echo you hear is because we're trying to tweak the sound so we can serve those that are worshiping with us online. So I trust you'll be able to bear with me if there's a little bit of an annoyance with you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord, for your word. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to hear your word and heed your word this morning. I help plant your word deep into our soil, our souls. And I pray, Lord, we would leave here encouraged, affirmed, and blessed by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, once upon a time, there was a young man from Central Florida that wanted to become a chicken farmer. And he had heard that there was a gentleman that lived in Gainesville, Georgia. That's right, Gainesville, Georgia. I know you know Gainesville, Florida, but there's a Gainesville, Georgia. And he heard that this chicken farmer up in Gainesville, Georgia had put together this super duper chicken feed. And so this gentleman from Central Florida began making his way, moseying on up the highway up to Gainesville, Georgia. As he took the exit off of the highway there, as he made his way into Gainesville, Georgia, he got an old country county road. He was driving about 35 miles per hour when suddenly in his rearview mirror he noticed a chicken that was making its way towards his truck. Well, suddenly at 35 miles per hour he looked out the window, and sure enough there beside of him was a chicken just keeping right up with him. So he sped up to 45 miles per hour, and the chicken sped up to 45 miles per hour and was keeping up with him. He sped up to 55 miles per hour, and the chicken sped up and was keeping right track with him there, when suddenly he began to turn on his blinker as he needed to slow down and make his way to the chicken farmer's house. At that point that he turned into the chicken farmer's driveway, that chicken shot across his truck and straight through that chicken farmer's pasture. The good old boy from Central Florida met the chicken farmer from Gainesville, Georgia, and he said, "Sir, you're not going to believe what I just saw." He said, "What'd you see?" He said, "I just saw a three-legged chicken." The boy in Gainesville, Georgia said, "Sir, that's exactly what you saw." He said, "The reason you saw it is because I grow three-legged chickens." He said, "Well, how do you grow three-legged chickens?" He said, "Well, that's a secret. I can't let you in on it, but I can tell you why I grow three-legged chickens." He said, "Why?" He said, "Well, I like a good chicken leg, and so does my wife, don't you?" He said, "Of course I do." He said, "My wife and I got to talking that we needed to grow a three-legged chicken in case we ever have a child someday, or we ever have company over. We'll have an extra chicken leg. We won't have to make more than one chicken. Doesn't that sound like a good idea?" He said, "Well, you know, sounds like a great idea." He said, "But farmer, I got one question for you. What does a three-legged chicken taste like?" He said, "I don't know. I haven't caught one yet." They laughed more in the first service, just so you know. Every single one of us is chasing something. You might not be chasing a three-legged chicken, but the reality is this. Every single one of us in this room today, you're chasing something. Some of us are chasing wealth. that we have God's wisdom. All throughout the book of Proverbs, you're going to see wisdom personified as a woman, a beautiful woman that we should pursue. That's why he says, he uses female pronouns, and she, in verse 15, she's more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. What makes Christians rich? We have God's wisdom and God's word. And there are several benefits and blessings that he highlights here for us that makes us rich. But what makes us rich is that we have God's wisdom. But in reality, what makes us rich is that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, wisdom is this. It's massaging God's law into the nooks and crannies of our lives. That's really what the wisdom literature of the Bible is all about. It's about taking God's law, God's commands, and you must learn how to massage them into the nooks and crannies of your life as you're seeking to be holy and seeking to be righteous and seeking to be obedient to Him. And what we see here in verse 17 is that what all the Jewish people long for and hope for is found in this lady wisdom. Verse 17, he says, her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. The word peace there is shalom. You've heard many Jewish people greet one another, shalom. What is it that makes Christians truly rich? It's that we're right with God. Alan Ross says this, that heavenly bliss stems from being right with God. So how do I know that Jesus is truly what makes us rich? In 1 Corinthians 1, the Apostle Paul says this, that Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. And so what makes us rich today, friends, is having a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. See, God's wisdom is personified in the book of Proverbs. But here's what we know. God's wisdom is not some abstract force or reality, but rather God's wisdom is incarnated in Jesus Christ. All of God's wisdom is there present in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' life and how he lived his life in perfect submission and obedience to the Father's will. In Jesus' teaching, he only further expounded God's wisdom. As we see the echo of the Sermon on the Mount here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13, when he says, blessed is the one who gains wisdom. Reminds you of the Sermon on the Mount, doesn't it? Blessed are the peacekeepers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And we see the wisdom of God, the power of God, demonstrated in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so to convince you that what makes us rich is Jesus, I want us to reread verses 13 through 18, substituting the word Jesus for the word wisdom. See how it interprets it for us if we do it that way. Blessed is the one who finds Jesus and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from him is better than gain from silver, and his profit better than gold. Jesus is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with Jesus. Long life is in his right hand, and his left hand are riches and honor. Jesus' ways are ways of pleasantness, and all his paths are paths of peace. Jesus is a tree of life to those who lay hold of him, and those who hold him fast are called blessed. What makes us rich, friends? It's being in a right relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. George Beverly Shea is most well known for being the music director, the choir director for the Billy Graham Crusades. Well, there was a time in George Beverly Shea's life when he was not walking with Christ, and his mother was very wise and very subtle in what she wanted to do to try to nudge her son towards Jesus. So his mother one day printed out a poem that ended up becoming words to a famous hymn, and she set it on the coffee table because she hoped that George Beverly Shea would walk by there, see it, perhaps begin reading it, and that God might change the trajectory of his life. She was not happy or pleased with the way he was headed. And that's what happened. One day, George Beverly Shea came into his mother's house and he saw this sheet of paper lying there on the coffee table and he began to read it. "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name." George Beverly Shea took those lyrics of that poem, went to the piano, sat down and began writing a tune that would be matched with these famous words of this now famous hymn, "I'd Rather Have Jesus." Friends, is that true of you today? More than a nice house, more than a great job, more than a comfortable retirement, would you rather have Jesus? The scriptures say Christians are the richest people in the world, regardless of how much money you have or don't have in your purse or wallet. Why? Because we have Jesus. Why? Why could you say that, Tim? Why could you say that having a relationship with Jesus makes you more rich than anyone else in the world? Well, that's the second lesson this passage teaches us this morning, is why Jesus makes you rich. There are several promises and blessings and virtues that are highlighted in this passage that we can take a look at about why a relationship with God makes us the richest people in the world. I mean, we can look at verse 16 and how long life is in his hand, how we have eternal life, honor, respect from people, spiritual life for your soul. In verse 22, there will be life for your soul. But there's one aspect I want us to focus on right now that I think is very timely based on the whole pandemic that we are experiencing as a country and as a world. And it's found in verses 24 through 26. Why does Jesus make you rich? Because he offers you peace. I want you to notice, he offers you both temporal peace and eternal peace. Look at that. Look at verse 24. "If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet." Why do we know that Jesus makes us rich? Because Jesus offers us something the rest of the world can't offer us. Jesus offers us something that money cannot buy. Peace. Peace of mind. In the original Hebrew, it says that you will not tremble, you will not be afraid, you won't bite your fingernails when you go to lay your head on your pillow at night. Why? Because you have peace with God. You have sleep. Sweet sleep. Friends, maybe some of you struggle to sleep at night because you have physical ailments that make it difficult. That's been Jennifer this week. She's had a hard time sleeping because every time she moves, she goes, it hurts everywhere. Ooh, ooh, For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. How do we know that we have eternal peace with God? It's through Jesus. Jesus is our confidence as we stand before God. One of my favorite biographies I like to read, I haven't read all of it. It's written by a British guy. It's hard to get into, but it's about the life of Stonewall Jackson. By the way, Stonewall Jackson was born in a little town that is a part of modern-day West Virginia. I know. I'm excited. But Stonewall Jackson made this statement. He was a Christian. My religious belief teaches me to feel as safe in the battle as in bed. Did you catch that? He says, my religious belief teaches me to feel as safe in the battlefield as I do in bed at night. Now, what in the world could possibly give Stonewall Jackson that kind of peace, that there was no difference to him when he was lying in bed at night snoring and sawing logs than when he was in the battlefield and bullets were buzzing by his ear? He says this, God has fixed the time for my death. I do not concern myself about that, but to be always ready, no matter when it may overtake me. That is the way all men should live, and then all would be equally brave. sometimes even get easily distracted when I'm preaching. I'm joking. I can easily get distracted. My eyes can wander. My mind can wander. And the same is true of all of us spiritually. And our Lord knows that. That's why you see in chapters 1 through 8 and 9 of the book of Proverbs that every proverb begins with, "My son, listen to my teaching." See, our Lord knows that our tendency is to forget. Our tendency is to wander. Our tendency is to get distracted. And so for the second time in this proverb, in verse 13, he says, "My son." Pardon me, in verse 21, "My son, do not lose sight of these." John Kitchen says this: "Every day we must embrace wisdom afresh. At every turn we must pursue her ways." Our Lord Jesus said it as well. He just said it a little bit different way. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul highlighted this same command and exhortation as well. And we know it very, very well because of R.C. Sproul and his ministry of Renew Your Mind. But in Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." How do we maintain the wealth that God has given us? Well, there's a sense in which, absolutely, that we are saved by God's sovereign grace. His hand plucks us out of hell. His hand plucks us out of spiritual death. And we are saved by God's sovereign grace, and we are sustained by God's sovereign grace. Don't doubt that for one second. Don't